Cricket on the Brain 24/7, 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast, every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A spectacular Spanish display. Spain! Spain, the European champions, will play the World Cup final.
The World Cup's quiet achiever just got very, very loud. Spain is into the tournament final, having knocked out favourites France with a performance that was emphatic. In a tournament where stars have been the focus, it was a team that delivered. Le Bleu were merd, a weird mix of shock, entitlement and impotence. Their legendary manager, Didier Deschamps, now has the indignity of finishing his tenure in the third v fourth playoff. Their captain and star, Kylian Mbappe, loses a golden opportunity in his prime. What next for Spain? Will it be England or Argentina? Can either mount a challenge to this study of team excellence? Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Niamh Owens is the host of the SBS World Cup coverage. He's actually rostered off for today's game. But we said, hey, if you've got the day off, are you going to talk to us about France-Spain? Because I know that you're a fiend for this stuff, Niamh. Welcome.
Do you know what? I was so excited to talk to you and I thought about France today because they have been such a joy to watch throughout the tournament. I have loved the way they've gone about their business and they're so not the story, Stacky.
I know. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, Kevin Prince-Boateng, your colleague, summed up most neutral fans' view on Spain prior to this game when he was asked on the coverage if we've been sleeping on Spain, and he said,
"We're not sleeping on them. They put us to sleep." The way that they play, like, I need a double espresso.
Well, I guess when you sleep, you dream, and now Spain is living a dream. Is this a classic cliche of a champion team versus a team of champions?
It's a Johnny Warren saying, isn't it? And I feel like we've called on it a lot throughout this World Cup. We saw it again today. You're right, Stacky. With a Spanish performance that was one for the ages. From the very get-go today, they played some really beautiful football. And yeah, we know they're capable of that. But they also got much better looks at goal than we have seen really throughout the whole tournament. They had these gorgeous passages of play, short passes into the box. We know they're beautiful to watch. There was actually shots on the end of those today. They made them work. And I think that's what Kevin, in his very beautiful, real way of saying things, was saying at the start. We've seen them with the possession. Yeah, we know they play that beautiful tiki-taka football. They can hang out in their own half of the field doing that for such long periods of play. We did not see that today. We saw it with the ball. We saw it without the ball. When they swarmed the ball in defence, they had this great ability to win the ball back quickly from France, who have looked so comfortable in possession against other opposition throughout the tournament. They did not look like that for a single moment of this game today. This was by far the best Spanish performance we've seen at this World Cup. They absolutely outplayed this star-studded French side. And to your point, they did that without me really being able to say that win was down to this particular player.
Yeah. And when we're so used to a French side that has just been teeming with stars who have given us such moments throughout this tournament and that we saw as the heavyweight of the competition, I think we saw this semi-final as a final in absentia, and maybe we just didn't get it from France, and that's a credit to Spain, as you sort of articulate. But talk to me about the kind of malaise I feel like we saw from France. Like, when you've seen the dizzying heights, it hits so keenly when you don't get them.
And I kept waiting for those heights. You feel like with Elise, who just did not have a game to remember today, he has been this creative beauty throughout this tournament. That heartbeat going forward for a French side that you've then got Mbappe, you've got Dembele on the end of these beautiful moments that are so created from the middle of the park by Elise going forward. There was none of that today, Stacky. I kept waiting for it and then he was substituted and I knew it wasn't coming. From Mbappe, who scored 20 World Cup goals. This was his 21st World Cup game today. He scored 8 at this tournament. And we've spoken throughout the tournament about his runs off the ball, how many runs he makes where he doesn't end up on the end of the ball, but someone else does and he creates that space. We've spoken about that extra touch that leaves defenses looking like fools. We didn't see that today either. He was just a little bit off. I mean, was he? Or are we not giving Spain credit for the way they were able to really suffocate France? Even when France attacked in transition, and we've seen that, we've seen them do that so beautifully throughout the tournament, Spain got players back, but they got players back en masse, and they got players back en masse so quickly that they were able to neutralize and nullify a French attack that has worked. Spain has not worked as that collective whole that we saw today numerous times throughout this tournament. Yet we've seen them progress and we've seen them get either the points or the wins that they've needed. France has worked in every game. It has been a joy to watch them because there just hasn't been holes to pick. That's been so beautiful the way that they have attacked and the numbers that they've had going forward. We've spoken to the fact that Deschamps has taken the handbrake off and given them that freedom to play. None of that worked today. And I don't know how much of that to put back on France. I think certainly they were lacking a plan B. When plan A wasn't working, it was like they kept waiting for it to click, as I did from the couch at home. I kept waiting for plan A to work. There was no plan B. And maybe that's something we look at Deschamps for. But certainly from a Spanish perspective, from the absolute get-go, they had France's number. And maybe we should have been less dubious in the lead-up. I mean, this is the European champions we're talking about. They have beaten France in Euro 24. They've beaten France in the Nations League in 2025, now in the World Cup in 2026. So maybe we're the dummies here. Yeah. Stacky, you know, maybe we should have seen this coming.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in a tournament that's been defined by stars, we've been suckered in. I certainly have been suckered in to the shiny thing when this has just been a study in dull collective excellence over the course of the tournament. I think they've conceded one goal. I believe the manager has no losses, one draw over his entire tenure. So yeah, maybe failing to appreciate the simplistic excellence of this Spanish outfit. Can you talk to me about that first goal? Lucas Digne, I mean, the lack of awareness from the French defender just sort of kicks out at the ball, and Lamine Yamal, the young emerging star, clever enough to see what was happening, get in the way, get his head to it.
It's Cucurella's delivery. It's beyond Oyarzabal, awkward for Digne. Lamal's got over, penalty.
A weird lack of awareness from the French defender.
Digne didn't have a game to remember, did he? I mean, Yamal had his number all day long. Yamal, who turned 19 during this World Cup, this French side has two teenagers in the starting lineup, which we just haven't seen before at this point in a World Cup. And Yamal himself, we mentioned some of those stats around the coach, around this Spanish team, they have never lost a tournament game of football that Lamine Yamal has started in. His record within this side is remarkable. And when you think about some of those conversations we've had throughout the tournament about the star-studded lineups they're up against and perhaps being a little disappointed in the impact that the star that is Yamal, and yeah, he's a star that will continue to grow. He's still so young, still so early in his career, but we expect so much of him. He still does so much, Stacky, whether he is on that score sheet or not. And we saw that in that moment. He knew exactly what he was doing on the edge of the box. Digne, on the other hand, only had eyes for the ball. He had no awareness that coaching, you know, philosophy that we hear where they're like, you scan again, you scan constantly. He was not scanning. He had eyes only for the ball, and Yamal took complete advantage of that. He was the experienced veteran in that moment who made sure that his body was in exactly the right place when Digne kicked through and collected him. Yeah, absolutely. Yamal had no chance of getting the ball in that moment, but Digne gave away the penalty. And then once again, it wasn't Yamal, because as we've said, they're not just one guy. They are a collective whole. It was Oyarzabal who stepped up, who has also been remarkable for them. He went the opposite way to his norm when he stepped up from the penalty spot.
Mikel Oyarzabal. Strike!
a team that has conceded just once throughout this World Cup, once they had that lead, they knew exactly what to do with it.
I mean, if that was a gut punch, I feel like the knockout blow was Pedro Porro and Dani Olmo combining for the second goal. It was a dagger in the French hearts.
Porro, Olmo, Pedro Porro! It's happening for Spain! Look at those wild eyes!
To see Douay, Kone and Digne sort of just ball-watching as Porro ran into the area and ultimately delivered Spain a final. It must have been just agonising for French supporters.
Did they go Porro is no danger in that moment? He's not the guy we have to track, because he had so much space. Those three players you've just named, no one tracked his run. The French defenders, you watch the replay, they're stationary. They watch it unfold. The assist from Olmo, yeah, it is great. He gets his body exactly where it needs to be. But Pedro Porro hadn't scored an international goal before this World Cup, Stacky. He's got two at this World Cup now and one in that crucial moment in the second half to ensure their progression to a World Cup final. It was a brilliant finish. It was a great piece of play, but it's a moment that France will watch back and go, what the? Like, what happened in that moment? Douay, Digne, Kone, like, great players within this French side were left on their heels, completely stationary, and Porro took full advantage.
You spoke about Didier Deschamps earlier, and at the conclusion of the game, he had that sort of thousand-yard stare going that shattered managers have after a tournament exit. It's his final tournament in charge of France. He's got the indignity of having to come back for the third v fourth playoff, leading into the final. For me, it's kind of a case study in fine margins. And by that, I mean, he has overseen a generationally brilliant French group. He has won a World Cup. That is just bonkers in and of itself. He's taken them, I think, to three World Cup semifinals. So that is like, speaks to the body of work of excellence. Is one World Cup an adequate return, though, for this group of players?
That's what they'll reflect on, isn't it? And firstly, to have a group of players where three World Cup finals is a disappointing result. You know, they would have made having won this game three World Cup finals in a row. It's remarkable. And they are still a young side. The core of this team that we've spoken about still have a decade on the world stage ahead of them, probably led in that time by Zinedine Zidane, who looks, to all reports, very ready to step in and take charge. But this was Deschamps' 26th World Cup match in charge, Stacky, the outright most of any manager. He lifted the trophy as a captain in 1998, as a manager in 2018. He's one of those managers who has achieved so much, and yet with a group of attacking talent, this generational group of players, the expectations have been so high that he's still being questioned throughout that tenure tactically. And I loved that we saw from the get-go in this tournament, it really felt like he had taken that handbrake off, that he's been accused of keeping on this group of players for so many years. He'd let it go. They were playing beautiful attacking football. They were using the creative talent that they had, and we were seeing it pay dividends. Do you reflect now on the fact that they haven't reached another World Cup final and question that and question whether there should have been a change throughout the knockout stages? I don't think so. I think this is a talented group of players who had absolutely every right to expect, as we did, to take that next step into yet another World Cup final, playing that exciting brand of football that we have seen them play. I think the disappointing thing for me today from Deschamps' perspective is a player of his caliber, a manager of his caliber. He's been in charge since 2012. I was disappointed that there wasn't a plan B. It wasn't working. We could see that it wasn't working. I didn't see a change in approach. I didn't see a tactical change. I didn't see a formation change to try to force the hand of Spain. And I think that's the disappointing thing now that perhaps he will reflect on as a manager bowing out, at what else he could have done after, you know, the 60-minute mark, for example, when plan A clearly wasn't working. We were 90-plus minutes before they got a shot on target, Stacky. It's not that they were peppering the Spanish goal, and Unai Simón, yeah, he had a great game today. Absolutely, he did. But that really wasn't the story. And I think that's because we expected France to offer more. and Spain were able to suffocate them and France weren't able to come up with the answers.
Yeah, I feel like we've inevitably got unreasonable expectations around these guys because we're talking about the biggest possible fish in the biggest possible waters. And when you're swimming in those waters of greatness, if you're killing Mbappe and you're in your prime and you're showing that you are at that level of Messi, et cetera, it's so keenly felt when you don't get, you know, like, three goals in a losing grand final like last time. Is he going to reflect on this as a, if you're Mbappe, you're going to be livid, aren't you?
I think it's a similar story to perhaps the one after the quarterfinal with Erling Haaland, who we had seen for his team have such an impact in the big moments throughout the World Cup, and therefore our expectations are in those big moments you'll conjure something. But they're also not magicians. They also don't have that ability to do it on their own. And the service that he got today, we spoke to the fact that Elise wasn't able to deliver in the way that he had throughout the tournament. So I think there were numerous things that didn't work. But you're absolutely right. Mbappe did not have an impact on this game. And we have not been able to say those words at any other point throughout this World Cup, indeed throughout the last World Cup either, where he also scored 8 goals. He won that golden boot. He scored a hat trick in the World Cup final, which was remarkable in a losing team. We've seen him stand up for France in those big moments on so many occasions.
Elise again, and Dembele, and Mbappe!
And whether it was that suffocation from Spain that prevented it today, but he certainly wasn't able to do it. Today, he looked like any other player on that pitch. And these are the best players in world football at this time. But we are used to him being the best of the best. And today he just wasn't.
You're going to be back on the SBS coverage tomorrow for a reasonable fixture, England v Argentina. Just a little bit baked into that one. And the victor of that is going to get the opportunity to try and take down Spain and win a World Cup. Out of those two sides, from what you've seen across the competition so far, who do you think has the most tools that will trouble that Spanish outfit that we just saw put on a clinic?
I have absolutely no idea. I can argue both sides of this. I feel like neither Argentina nor England have played their best football probably in this tournament overall, certainly from an English perspective. We've had moments, we've had halves, we've had quarters, if you like, where they've played the kind of football that we anticipated coming in from this star-studded English side. Argentina throughout the knockout stages, I've been a little bit disappointed with. They've got the job done and that's what you need to do in tournament football, and you still feel like they can flick that switch at any time. I don't know who has the best tools to take on a Spanish side who showed today against France that not only are they happy in possession, but they can do really beautiful things with that possession. They are going to trouble you and suffocate you with the ball that you have. If Spain play the kind of football that they did today, Stacky, I'm not sure that either England or Argentina have the tools to break them down and to really trouble them. I'm also not sure who wins this semi-final. There is so much history between these two teams. There's so much on the line for an English side that haven't played in a World Cup decider since they won it on home soil in 1966. Since then, we've had the hand of God. We've had the goal of the century. We've had David Beckham's red card in 98, his penalty in 2002. We've had these moments that the rest of the world have pored over afterwards but became stuff of sporting legend in their home countries. It just feels like, and we even heard Scaloni on the way in kind of trying to calm everyone externally as well as I'm sure within his own side, saying this is another football game. But it just feels like so much more because of the history between the two nations, both on and off the football field. They've both survived extra time to get here. The knockout stages haven't been straightforward. England must be exhausted, surely, after that Estadio Azteca cracker against Mexico at altitude, and then in the heat against Norway, who backs up best from that path that they've taken to get here. And then the other element, Stacky, that Lionel Messi has never played a competitive football game against England. I just feel like he's achieved everything in the world game. I don't understand how that is humanly possible. There are so many storylines coming in. I can see this one going the distance. I can see it not being decided in 90 minutes. I can't see who wins. I can't see who takes that next step. I think it is absolutely there for the taking. And maybe it's the side that, like Spain today, finds that extra gear, finds that next level when it matters.
Regardless of what happens, it feels like it's going to be cracking to watch. Neve Owens will be piloting us there. Appreciate your time, Nevo.
Can't wait, Staggy. Thank you.
Today's episode was produced by Poppy Penny. We'll be back tomorrow. Mark Schwarzer is going to be in the chair for the second last time in this tournament as he reviews what shapes as a doozy. Argentina v England in the semi-finals of the World Cup. Thanks to SBS for the extra audio used in today's episode. Catch ya.